what actually happened here is hard to understand. That's the first and foremost. The idea this guy has now asked for two trades within a few months is just mind-boggling. And for him to stand there in that press conference and talk the way he did about how he was going to be here, however long it was, and he was going to play for the fans and play for his teammates and like all of that, and sounding happy and with it, and from that moment on, never to be around the team. Like, he did that press conference and got out of Dodge and has never been heard from again. Now, the word from Jets camp is that they made it very clear to him that they needed him to produce for the Jets first, that they knew he wanted this contract, but they were going to make the trade, which, by the way, is a third-round pick, a pick that could become a second round. And 2 years from now, it's a conditional third-round pick. And they bring him over instead of keeping Huff, which the Eagles end up signing him. They bring him over with the guidelines of, hey, come play for us because we have players right now in Reed and other guys who are looking for money, and we can't just pay you right now, trade for you and pay you right now. What kind of message would it send to the clubhouse? That's what Connor was saying on Twitter. I was watching him on SNY. Connor Hughes was talking about how that's how the Jets felt, like they have guys in that building who've been looking for money, and to just pay Riddick right away would be a disaster for them in that building. So come here, play for us, give us a little bit, and we'll figure out your contract. And apparently, everyone was on board with that. And somewhere along the lines, and this is where LOL Jets and the Jets being the Jets is coming to focus here, where what exactly happened? Now, yes, typically, and the way you want to do it is the way the Giants made this deal. You want to have a deal done. You don't want to have ambiguity. You don't want to have to worry about whether or not this guy's going to understand, agree to this, feel the same way once he's over here. Like, everything that went wrong is avoided if they can figure out some contract before he gets traded here. But clearly they had a problem with it, and they still went along with the trade. Now, whether that was they were very close and felt like a deal was imminent, or whether, you know, they had a real strong affirmative understanding from both him and his people, his agency, that he was going to play this season under the current contract, whatever the case may be, the Jets looked foolish here that they even allowed this situation to pop up. And the thing for me is, like, if I'm the Jets right now, I think they have really all the cards, barring the season starting and injuries taking place, clearly. Because, I mean, look, this defense has been their strong unit, no doubt. I mean, they have McDonald. They have Clemens, who can get after the passer a little bit. They obviously have Quinn and Williams up front. Like, they still have a good front. Now, if they get no rush in the first couple of weeks, okay, maybe there's incentive. But it being a third round conditional pick, they're never going to get even that minimal value back. There's absolutely no reason to trade him. I'm not sure what Riddick is going to accomplish here, because as the weeks go by, the money comes off. He's losing too much money to even try and make up. What kind of contract do you think they're going to give him when you're playing this kind of tactic? Like, I don't understand any of it. Now, there is some pressure to just get it done with it and pay him and bring him here, because, look, the Jets are all in, right? The Jets are all in, and they need as many good football players as they can get. This is the year. This year, next year, however long Aaron Rodgers wants to play, this is the year. And to have this hanging over the team is embarrassing, first off, because when the news broke today, you know, collective hands to foreheads of everyone associated with the Jets took place, and the embarrassment level of just the idea that they even allowed this to happen when they had a pass rusher in their building last year who came up through them, who worked his ass off, and who was one of the better edge rushers in the sport. Let him go to the Eagles, the team you made the trade with, and now you've brought in this headache, and he doesn't want to sign a contract. He doesn't want to negotiate with you, or you don't want to negotiate with him until he shows up. I mean, that's really the one thing, though. The one thing I'll say is, as much as I agree with the Jets, that I don't trade him, and I would like to see him in the building and compete and play for the Jets before I give him a contract. I mean, you're under pressure here, and if you're going to pay him anyway, if the guys, like, if you told him, come here and play and we'll pay you. Like, if that was the understanding, like, are you literally going to let him not showing up right now, him not being in the building, be the difference between you having a cohesive unit that's working together, that's practicing together, that you know where he is, you can get with him, you can coach him up, you can start this defense, which, look, we all expect the offense to be far better this year, but even with Aaron Rodgers and even with, you know, some of the weapons they have in Wilson and Hall, you still need this defense to probably be your strongest unit. And I understand the Jets view this as a luxury because of what they have in this the building already and the asset they use to attain them. They're viewing this as, hey, we have them, great. We don't. And unless things change, unless there's injuries or weeks go by and there's no pass rush and it's becoming a major problem for this team and costing them games, I'm not sure what motivation they'll have to get a deal done other than the idea that the fan base and everybody else is going to be, I mean, but once the season starts, like, it goes quiet if they're winning. It goes loud if they're losing. But this whole situation is just bizarre. And, you know, unfortunately, this is what it reminds me of, or what I'm compelled to think of, is that the Jets need to freaking win to stop this stuff. And now Joe Douglas, who has had an up-and-down tenure with the New York Jets, hasn't done any winning, has had good drafts, has had bad drafts. His particular thing that he's been great on is making trades. That's what he's done. That's where he's done his best work, whether it's the Adams trade or, like, he's done his best work trading, whether it's bringing in Rodgers, getting all those picks for Adams, and yet this trade is now blown up in his face. And ultimately, I think they're doing right now all they can do. The mistakes they made were prior to all this. They're handling this situation. I think you should have to come into the building to get paid. I think you should have to come in here, show good faith. We talked about this before we made the trade. You went out there on a press conference, talked about how you're going to be here and play for your teammates, and now you're not going to show up, and you expect us to just hand you a contract? The Jets have him under contract next year as well. This whole thing could take a year and a half to figure out. I don't think it will. I think at some point he's going to end up playing for them this year before he realizes how much money he's losing. But they need to win to stop this stuff, man. I saw Sean talk about the arrogance of the organization. And I understand that thought process, that you thought the Jets were... Like, Joe Douglas felt that this team was with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers makes everybody happy. Everyone wants to come play for Aaron Rodgers. It's transformed the organization. So we got a Super Bowl contender here. You don't want to come play for Aaron Rodgers. We promised you a contract. Down the line, why not show up? Everything's going to be great. We'll make the trade with that, with just a sort of a wink and a handshake deal, nothing written in stone, and we'll bring him in here and then make him so happy because our coach is so, you know, wonderful with words and such a motivator. And plus we have Aaron Rodgers and everything's kumbaya here, taking ayahuasca and enjoying ourselves, that, hey, he'll come in here, want to fit right in. But at the same time, if they are a little bit more of winners, then the situation probably plays out a hell of a lot better. Like, they just need to figure out how to get away from being the laughingstock organization of the NFL. And if that means paying someone to make the story go away or paying someone to make sure you have an edge rusher to get after the quarterback so you can win, like, that's part of it too. And especially for a group right now that have their job strictly because of the quarterback they traded for, coached, and his willingness to play ball and be in their corner, like, this is a year they have to win.